Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 25 years.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm. We are an independent midlist publisher based in Portland, Oregon, and Cleveland, Ohio. We have over 700 books, over 25 employees, and we make about 40 new books every year. And we distribute thousands of titles from other publishers.
We started this podcast so that we can share what we've learned with newer publishers so that you can learn from our mistakes.
Or maybe you just want to understand the publishing industry.
This week, we are going to talk about an interesting item in the news and what it could mean. And, you know, maybe like how book publishers could interface with this.
Right. So there's some, I don't know, I feel like this is like the same story at every nonprofit organization I've ever encountered, where like, so the American Booksellers Association, which exists to sort of organize and represent bookstores. Independent bookstores, has had like, I don't know, I mean, should we start with like the story of...
Mm-hmm. They had a board member resign in protest.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the first recorded incidents of that happening. And, you know, that, like, sounds really interesting, but, like, when you get into the nitty-gritty, it's really not.
So this is one of those situations where, another organization we know of had kind of a similar thing happen, where there was, like, kind of an uproar about diversity and inclusion. And... they decided to change their policy, and somebody responded to that change in policy by resigning, and then you would think that that would be, like, a marginalized person who was like, they're not doing enough, but no, it was an old white guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my executive summary.
But it's not so much about this. So what we know... is, you know, and part of this is the resigning board member has made some comments, and as of press time here, the ABA has not made any comments on this. They have really left this, you know, to everyone else but themselves to talk about. And then the other, you know, but the issue seems to go back 6 months, which means that privately it probably went back a couple of years, you know, where the ABA... they send out a box of new books, what, you know, that like are maybe of interest to independent bookstores. That's like one of the services they offer for publishers and for members. And one of the books that they included was a book about the danger that transgender children pose, and it's like a parenting book.
Oh, God.
And it's like one of those things where you're like, ooh.
And so this wasn't like somebody at the ABA who was like, what books shall we recommend to our members? This is more like they put out, like we get these occasionally where they're like, hey, publishers, an opportunity to buy a placement in our box. And then like you pay your money and you send in your book and it's like first come, first serve.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is sort of, this ties in well, you know, we did a few sort of related issues where, you know, like Mike Pence's autobiography, obviously, like, rattles people similarly at Simon & Schuster, who were like, not under my watch, or, you know, the anti-Antifa book, you know, that Hachette published, you know, or things like that, that it feels like the organization is taking a stance in favor of, you know, sort of the dominant paradigm on these issues, or even, like, making commentary when they're not really making any commentary, you know, where the commentary is really like, way things are, pretty good for me, thanks. You know? And so, I think, you know, what we know is that, well, so the board member's stated purpose of resignation was that they believe in old world ideas of free speech, meaning, like, we aren't here to mediate content. We are here to say, okay, you have published this book. Like, we aren't here to judge whether or not this is good or not. And the ABA seems like a little bit clunky and bumpy, where, you know, they let this book slip through and go out to their members, who were obviously, like, plenty of them were upset about it and took it as, like, a sort of ad hoc, I don't know.
Endorsement?
Yes, endorsement. That's the word I was looking for, of this book. When it doesn't, it just seems like it was a marketing guffaw. Similarly, as it was for the publisher included in this box. Or, you know, like, if you were, like, a conservative right-wing group, like, you're probably just about the only person that could see this as, like, a beneficial situation.
I guess so. I mean, maybe, like, three bookstores. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it was, like, reaching out to the wrong market that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that happened to be during the same week that they included the wrong book cover.
Ooh.
To their members, and it happened to dramatically shift the point of view, where the wrong book cover they used was, in fact, a book of the opposite ethos of the book they were purportedly representing. So, you know, clumsy, clunky. But those issues besides, like, the real issue seems to come down to, like, how do I manifest my best self during the culture wars while still believing in American ideals of free speech, which are, I don't know. I was trying to figure this out. I was like, was I sold this in my, like, middle school education that, like, America is the only country in the world with free speech?
They do like to say the only country in the world. I don't think it's true.
Or, like, is this, you know, even really, yeah, is that yet another example of marketing? But in any event,
American exceptionalism is the best.
American exceptionalism is definitely a factor, but it's more what the mindset that puts into people.
I mean, I feel like we almost need a different word than free speech, because it's become so polarized and it's just taken on such a meaning of, like, I can say whatever I want, including being an asshole to you.
Well, your freedom to act badly. Yes.
Yeah, freedom to be a jerk.
Right. And so that's kind of the thing where you're like, in a lot of cases, you know, and I think what we said during the previous program where we touched on these issues is, like, you know, if something is, like, of a marginal point of view, it doesn't really have a home in a major press. You know, that's, and, you know, like, as a person of marginalization myself, you know, it's like, it definitely colors my view when, like, a publisher publishes, like, In the Autism Epidemic, or, you know, other books that purport, like, causation between vaccination and autism, or books that are, like, you know, of that variety, where you're just like, don't do that, you know? Like, you know, and maybe those things sell, but it sort of colors your reputation forever.
It's like, just because people want to buy it doesn't mean you have to publish it.
And, you know, again, it's like anything of specious science, where you're like, how does this color you moving forward?
I mean, I feel like, so this is like the conversation I end up having the most often about censorship, sometimes with our authors, is like, and really ever since I was, like, you know, on the school newspaper in college and then, like, a daily online news journalist afterwards, like, the conversation I had to have a lot is, like, my editorial decisions are not censorship. Like, the state, the government telling you what you can and cannot do is censorship, but, like, a group or organization or company or individual making a decision about what they do and don't want to put out in the world, that's not censorship.
Right, that's their own freedom. And, you know, as is your own freedom to react and respond to that, you know?
Totally. So, like, I feel like, you know, I don't know, and I was pretty confused, like, because I didn't read the ABA's original announcement about changing their bylaws. I only read this guy's dissent. Sorry, ABA.
And I don't think that they really made that public.
They had a little thing that was quoted, but all the coverage has been about this guy who is a very good talker. Like, he sounds very smart and educated, and he uses a lot of technical terms, and he's not, like, you know, he has a point, so he's not, like,
right.
And he's not trying to be, like, a both-sidesist or anything. Like, he's, right. I mean, I don't know if I agree with his nitpicking, but I also would never be on a nonprofit board if you held my feet over the fire, so.
I will not hold your feet over the fire.
Thank you. But, like, his point kind of was that, like, they changed their bylaws and I think this is correct, so that they would no longer kind of like champion First Amendment issues in their policies and advocacy.
Yeah, well, it seems like the change was that they would still believe in freedom of speech and the First Amendment. However, they would also act to protect marginalized people.
Yeah,
within
like,
that.
Like, my understanding was that they were shifting to refer booksellers who had free speech issues to, and censorship issues to, other organizations that focus on that, while they would be more focused on, like, yeah, protecting marginalized people and on diversity and inclusion and equity.
Right. And so, and then, you know, and it's, like, sort of the fascinating thing of, like, you know, when, and it's a culture gap, an age divide, where, you know, one person is like, freedom of speech means you can do, you know, you say these things within, like, the certain letter limits of the law. And then to somebody else, that is, like, a coded dog whistle to be, like, voice of the oppressor.
I mean, and I feel like that's fine. Like, it's such a thorny issue, and there are organizations that focus on this. So, like, and if like, getting involved in these is going to, like, dilute your other missions, then sure. I mean, like, you know, you were telling, reminding me of, like, the Comic Book Legal Defense Funds issue, where the ACLU has, like, you know, because of their missions, have, like, felt compelled to support people who have, like, truly noxious things to say and their freedom to say it.
And that's, I mean, and that's, like, literally the function of these organizations is, like, okay, you've made this thing that is, like, gross and maybe not morally objectionable, but, like, you know, to some people morally objectionable, and, like, it's our job to ensure your right to do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, in some cases, like, you know, the ACLU protects people that are on the far left and on the far right, and their ability to do these things, because that's the platform.
Civil liberties. I mean, which I think is awesome, in a sense, and I'm also, like, you know, can totally see why an organization would not want to get involved in that.
Right.
And yeah, would, like, want to steer their course far away from that.
Yeah.
So the publisher of the transphobic book, that,
which one?
I know, right? This one that was trying to promote themselves to independent bookstores through the ABA. Like, they were, who knows what they were thinking, or it seems like maybe they didn't really know what they had, or they didn't understand what they were doing, or maybe they weren't being honest with themselves. They definitely weren't being honest in their marketing.
Yeah.
And that was a strategic misstep for them. Like, if they wanted to promote this disgusting book, like, they should have chosen a different way to do it. They wasted their money. But, and that's, like, you know, fine. Like, go ahead and waste your money, idiots. But, like, it is a good lesson for the rest of us to be, like, you know, whatever kind of marginal point of view you are staking your claim on, like, own it fully and be smart about it.
Yeah, and I do think that's sort of one of the major differences is, like, a Big Five book, or even a book from, like, a large independent, you know, they generally take a scattershot approach and then kind of hide behind vague language because they have such far-reaching access that, you know, by being vague and general, they can be like, oh, transgender, that's a word I've been hearing. What does that mean? I'll buy this book. And, oh, now I've learned, you know. And it seems like that's kind of the marketing they were leaning on.
Right, like all those truth about COVID and truth about autism books.
Right, and you're like, actually, none contained in this volume.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, those are good examples too, because, yeah, you're like, you're trying to play off the news cycle, whereas you, a smaller press, you know, is you can't really operate that way. You have to operate more on authenticity, communication, you know, like, specificity. You know, you really need to be like, this is who we are, this is how we make decisions. You don't maybe say that, but you know that in your heart. And then you follow that. So,
and that's how you build your movement.
And that's how you, like, know the answer to your question. I mean, I like, so many of the publishers that would write to me will say things like, how do I tell Black authors that I'm down? And you have to be like, number one, don't say down. Number two, say, black authors a courage to submit. You know? And then they're like, yeah, but what if that offends them?
And you're like, that will offend some authors.
And, you know, and it's like, the minute that you're coming at any issue from, like, the fear of how they will react badly, you've already lost.
Yeah.
You need to be like, okay, this is what I want to accomplish, and these are the best practices to accomplishing it. So, sure, it'll rub some people wrong, but those aren't the people that I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with my base, which is people that feel the same way I do and interact with these issues the same way I do.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it's kind of more of an issue, honestly, for books. I mean, I guess, like, this whole kerfuffle at the ABA is about books being, like, should we or should we not promote these, like, kind of extreme right books, but, like, books that are, I don't even want to say they're left, but, like, you know, books that have, like, Mari Naomi's book was recently banned in, by a Texas school system because it had characters of color in it and one queer love story. You know? Like, that is still by far the majority of books that are being right. censored and banned. And so I feel like it is a little bit of a, is this the right use of false flag?
Yeah, right.
To be
right.
like, we're going to make a big stink about whether or not we should promote this stupid book, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and there are, like, plenty of successful marketing campaigns have thrived on the idea of let's scattershot our book the people that will find it completely detestable, and then they will hate it, and then we will end up in a national news story.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people that works, but when those people are your customers, it doesn't really work in the same way. You know, like, your customers need to be the one to be like, oh, yes, that fits us. And so, but on the other hand, you know, like, you have to follow your values, so maybe you're a press that publishes things that are, that nobody else would publish, and that's the whole point, you know? And so, like, you are sort of championing a First Amendment stance, but more than likely, like, you have something of a point of view, whether or not you are conscious of this or not, and you have things you would not publish and things you would be excited to publish, and, you know, the things you're excited to publish are more than likely not just on the grounds that nobody else would publish them, or they're, like, broadly objectionable, you know? So you have to really be like, who am I for? And then that should drive your decision-making.
And just because someone doesn't want to buy your book doesn't mean you're being censored.
No.
Unless it is, like, literally a branch of the government. Being like, no.
And if you are in that situation, please get in touch. We'd love to have you as a guest.
Yeah, totally. I mean, having your book banned is some great publicity.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm...
On Facebook at Microcosm Publishing.
On Instagram at Microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.